Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, we ask now that as we open your word, we just want to learn more about you, Father, that you enlighten our minds to understand your word and about, more about who you are. So please bless our time now, and may this be honoring to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So today we're going to continue our study in how to study the Bible. And today we will be talking about how to study and interpret the Old Testament. Old Testament. Now, can I please get a show of hands as to who would agree with any of these following statements? Ready? Who would agree with the statement that the Old Testament has been done away with and no longer applies to Christians? Okay, all hands remain down. This is good. How about the Old Testament is less important than the New Testament? Okay, no hands. The Old Testament teaches salvation by works. The New Testament teaches salvation by grace. Good, okay. Old Testament saints had to obey the law in order to be saved. Can't tell, you guys just not answering, or you actually think the answer is no? Well, it was right to keep all your hands down. The Old Testament is about 3/4 of your Bible, right? So it makes sense that we need to understand it. How do we as New Testament believers study and interpret and apply the Old Testament, right? So which parts of the Old Testament are for us? It's 3/4 of our Bible. Question for you. Are we still under the law of Moses? I don't want hands. I actually want somebody to talk on this one. AJ, what do you think?
We're under the law of grace.
The law of grace, okay. So we're not under the law of Moses.
Correct.
Okay. And do we still have to obey the Ten Commandments?
I mean, we still have to obey God's word. We're not saved by the Ten Commandments. Salvation has always been by faith through grace throughout the Old Testament.
That's good. Even now. No, that's good. So that question, and questions like that, they make us think, right? And we're going to talk about some of those today. Okay. So I find that you kind of have two extremes. Sometimes we hear people say that you still have to follow everything in the Old Testament, right? And then you'll find some people that say you can completely ignore the Old Testament. I mean, you got popular pastors today that have literally said, just don't even open it. Like, you don't even need it anymore, just the New Testament. And at the surface level, you can actually see, if you read certain Bible verses without really understanding the whole picture, where they might come up with that erroneous idea. Listen to a couple of these verses, okay? This is from John chapter 1. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay? This is from Romans. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. These are verses some people would point to say, you can completely ignore the Old Testament. We're not under law. We're under grace. Galatians says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under it. And then Hebrews says, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. Right? So these verses seem to say that the Old Testament really has very little relevance on a New Testament believer. But let's go to the other extreme. 1 Timothy 1:8 says this: we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. That sounds like we still need to obey it, right? And by the way, when we say the law, does anybody know what we're referring to there? This is one of those tricky kind of questions, because when you say the word law, it actually has multiple meanings. It can mean multiple things. So most of the time, when you hear somebody referring to the word, to the law, it's talking about the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, that was instruction for the nation of Israel, how they were to live. And what you'll even find people saying is, well, you can, and you can even break that law up into a moral law, which is, again, how they were to morally behave, into a judicial law, which were laws for the nation of Israel, and a ceremonial law, which was laws to govern how they were to worship God. All right? So when somebody talks about the law, most of the time, they're talking about the set of commands in those first couple of books of the Bible. But, which we'll also see, a lot of times, sometimes the law can be referring to the entire Old Testament. Okay? I'm going to give you a few more verses, and then we're going to move on past this. But again, I just want to point out and paint the picture as to why people sometimes think these two extremes. Again, we're on the extreme that says you have to obey all the Old Testament. How about this one? Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. So implying that, hey, whatever was written in the Old Testament, that was for our instruction. 2 Timothy. This is probably one of the most cited ones for this topic. And from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here it is. All scripture, that's Old Testament and New Testament, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. All scripture is the Old Testament, right? And then the last one was Romans 3. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So you've got these verses, and now what we need to do is really piece these together and look at these so that we can interpret the Old Testament accurately, all right? Now, I'm sure you guys have probably been told, what is the purpose of the law? What was the purpose of the Old Testament? And what was the purpose of the law? That's probably a little easier to comprehend.
To show our need for...
Show a need for a Savior, absolutely. Absolutely. To give us a knowledge of sin. So let's look at this. Let's read a couple of these. Andre, can you turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 19? Elp, can you please turn to, let's go Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And then AJ, if you can turn to John 5, 39. So, Andre, if you could read Romans 3, 19 through 24. So, let's look at this.
Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole earth or the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in the sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin.
Thank you. So it's saying that the point of this law is so that every mouth may be stopped. So everyone's going to know that they're accountable to God, right? So that nobody can boast by works. Right? So again, here we see in the Old Testament, the purpose was to give us a knowledge of sin and show all men that they're sinners. Well, let's look at another piece. Let's read Matthew 5, 17 and 18 for us.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them.
All right, stop there for a minute. Jesus just said, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. When he says the law and the prophets, that's another way to say all of the Old Testament. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. So we have the Old Testament giving us a standard of righteousness that men were supposed to keep. Okay, go ahead, Al. 18.
But truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Thank you. So the Old Testament was going to establish the truth of the righteousness that men needed to keep. And it's not going to go away until everything in it is accomplished. And then AJ, let's look at John 5:39. One more reason.
John 5:39. So as you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me.
That's good. It is they that bear witness about me. He's referring to the Old Testament. So we can see the Old Testament pointed out sin for men. I was supposed to be, I think it was Calvin who said, the law should function as a mirror for us to look at ourselves and see how far short we actually fall of the righteousness that's required. It should cause us to say, we need a savior. We can't do all this. And Jesus said, these scriptures, these Old Testament, they bear witness about me. That's why he said, remember when he said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me? When he was talking to the Pharisees, that's what he's referring to. So we can see that the Old Testament isn't going anywhere, that it bears witness about Jesus and it gives men a knowledge of their sin. So we know the Old Testament is good, right? We know we don't need to discard it like some false teachers say. But what parts do we need to obey today? Like, do we still need to kill a goat when we sin? How do you know? I'm seeing everybody shake their head no. We know that's the right answer. How do you know that?
Because Jesus was a sacrifice.
Right. We're told in the New Testament that Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of all those animal sacrifices and that he was the once and for all sacrifice. That's absolutely right. Okay, so are we under the law of Moses? Do we have to keep the Ten Commandments? And this is the question, AJ, you answered actually really well. But it gets sticky, right? It gets sticky when we tell people, hey, we're not under the law of Moses, we're under the law of Christ. And then the next breath, you tell them, but you do need to keep the Ten Commandments, at least some of them. Right? Well, why? How does that work? And so that's what we're going to talk about now, okay? So I think it's easier if we start at the bottom and kind of work our way up. Does anybody have any guess as to how many individual laws you will find in the law of Moses? How many individual commands do you think there are that they had to follow?
Hundreds.
The answer is hundreds. Any guesses? Come on, throw something out there. 23. It's higher than 23. 360. The most estimates are going to be over 600. The one that I have is 613. I've heard up to 600 in like the high teens and the 20s. But yeah, the number that I'm going to use for today is 613. Whether 613 or 620, it doesn't really matter. That's a lot of laws to keep. Okay? So if you break them all down, and that's the Old Testament Mosaic Law, 613 laws. But you know what's fascinating about this? You can roll all those 613 commands up into the Ten Commandments. Make sense? Right? So you can take all those 600 commands, and you could map each one to one of the Ten Commandments. So those individual 600 laws are an expression of the Ten Commandments. Like, it's like, okay, so how we specifically will follow those in our day-to-day lives, this is what that is going to look like for you guys. Now, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. So now we're up a level. So we were at the 613 at the bottom of that pyramid. Now we're coming up. Now we're at the Ten Commandments. So if we can break those 600 laws into 10 categories, 10 groups, can we break the Ten Commandments into any groups? AJ, you're shaking your head yes.
Yeah, you referenced earlier how we can look at the moral law versus the ceremonial law.
Okay.
How we are to relate to God and man, specifically
how we can relate to God and man. You can look at the Ten Commandments, okay? The first four actually relate to how we love God directly. How we directly love God. The next six relate to how we're supposed to love our neighbor. Does that sound familiar to you? Love God, love your neighbor. Where else have you heard that?
Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll love Mike.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Emily, do you have your Bible? Can you do you have your Bible? You got it on the iPad. Good. Can you get Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40? This is neat how God ties all these things together. So listen to this, Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. All right, read that aloud for us, Emily.
Teacher, what is the great commandment about? And he said to that, to say, you shall love for your other God in all the earth. And so he said that for all the modern, and sister Drayden and first man, the second, like can't fight it. You shall go in your neighbor as you saw. All these two things of those, and all the law.
Thank you. So Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? So this lawyer, coming up to Jesus, he's going, I think he was a lawyer. There's over 600 commands here. Which one is the most important? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. That's the great commandment. He said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But how do we, what two groups can you break the Ten Commandments into? Those two right there. Interesting, right? But think about this. He said, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And when you hear that, all the law and the prophets, what's that talking about? The Old Testament. He's saying all the Old Testament is based on these two commands. So all of these laws are based on love God and love your neighbor. Just like the 613 commands were expressions of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are expressions of these two great commandments. So everything kind of flows down from the top. You have this the greatest commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, where we can say that's how you're loving God directly. Then the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And you could even say this is how we're loving God indirectly, by loving others. So people in the Old Testament, they had a specific, what I'm going to call a law system, right? The Mosaic Law, those 613 commands, which you could roll up and God beautifully summarized into 10 commandments, which actually flow down from two greater commandments, right? This was a law system that the people of the Old Testament were to live by. And as they obeyed these commands, it was how they were expressing their love for God. Does that make sense? Tracking? All right. But Paul says in the New Testament, we're not under the law of Moses, right? He says we're not under that. We're not under those 613 laws. He says we're under the law of Christ. Like we see that. So let me ask you this. Is there a law in the New Testament? What's a law? Something that has to be followed, right? Let me ask you this. If God tells you to do something, is it optional? Does he have to, if God gives a command, is that a law for us to follow? The answer is yes. Right, if God gives a command, that is the law. That is what has to be abided by. He is the one who gives commands, that we have no option but to obey. Yes, Al.
The ones, the Great Commission, be like a law for us to follow, or is that like a
command? Well, I would say any command is a law. So yeah, any command in the Bible is a law for men to follow. So the reason I say that is because oftentimes you'll hear people say the Old Testament had law, the New Testament, people aren't under any law. Okay. Well, the New Testament is full of commands from God. That's law. That's not optional for us to follow, right? The New Testament says Christians are under the law of Christ. It's called the royal law. It's called the law of love. It's called the law of liberty. New Testament believers, make no mistake, we have a law to follow. It's not the 613, but we have to obey the commands within the New Testament. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 7:19 says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." So the reason I harp on that is because you'll find people that will tell you, I'm sure you've heard it, "I'm under grace. I can live exactly how I want." Where do you see that? Right? They take verses that say, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under grace. And they use that as an excuse to live however they want. But nowhere in Scripture, in the New Testament, do we see that we can say with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and then live like he's not? Does that make sense? We are not under the law of Moses. So 613 commands, those aren't for us. Doesn't mean we can't get anything out of them. And we'll touch on that a little bit. But there is law for us to follow and obey in the New Testament. Is everybody following? Okay. So what are our two great commandments as New Testament believers? The same ones. Jesus said it. Yeah, we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is for us today. So here's the interesting thing. Both systems of law, the Mosaic law and the law of Christ, are based on the two top commandments. So if you'd had the first one over here, love God, love neighbor as yourself, law of Moses. Law of Moses is based on this, right? We've talked about how you have the in Ten Commandments. Here, let's say 613. So these are expressions of this. These are expressions of this. But now we see these same two walk Christ. New Testament commands. What? So, are we under the law of Moses? No. We're under here. But can you see why there might be some similarities between the two? So, hey, are the Ten Commandments still for us today? Well, yeah. We see 9 out of 10 repeated in the New Testament, in the law of Christ. Why would that be? It's because both law systems or based off the two great commandments. So you're going to see overlap. That makes sense. So when you're talking with someone, you tell them, well, we're not under the law of Moses. That's true. Well, do I have to obey the Ten Commandments? All the ones that are repeated over here. Yeah, you do. By the way, you're going to find 9 out of 10 over there. Why would that be? Well, because both the law of Moses and the law that Christ gave us is based off the two same commandments. Does that make sense? Okay. So I want to go back to kind of the skeptics and what they start to say. So when you hear somebody say, I live under grace, I'm not under the law. Adam, you're talking about law in the New Testament. You're putting me back under the law where I have to obey. And you're telling me I'm not saved by grace through faith. That is not what I'm saying at all, right? What I am saying is this. We express our love for God by obeying him. Let's look at a couple verses. Andre, can you do John 14, 15? Bethany, can you do Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, please? All right, Andrea, John 14, 15, please. This is New Testament.
If you love me, you will abide in him.
Boom. So here we have New Testament. Keep his commandments. All right, Bethany, can you do Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 6, please?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart.
That's good. Thank you. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. These words that I command you shall be on your heart. Listen to Deuteronomy 11, 1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. So here, keep his commandments. This is how, so obeying God's rules is how Old Testament believers express their love for God. Keeping the commandments of God, of Christ, is how New Testament believers express their love for God. Does that make sense? So all the law in the Old Testament and the law in the New Testament, the law of Moses, the law of Christ, was designed to show us how we can express our love for God. But how did the Old Testament Jews mess this up? They were supposed to keep his commandments out of love for him. What did they turn it into? In a sense, absolutely. They turned it in a way. So AJ, you had said this earlier. You said we're all saved by grace through faith. That really wasn't the mindset of the Pharisees and the Jews, though.
They turned it into work.
They turned it into works. So obeying these commands, one, they created their own set of laws so that these could be followed better, they thought. And what they were saying was, now if we follow all these things, we're making ourselves righteousness. We're making ourselves righteous. It had nothing to do with loving God. Had nothing to do with loving God. Okay? That was their kind of folly. New Testament believers always have the opposite. And I want to call them believers. But people today say, I'm just going to live by faith. And Jesus forgives me no matter what. If you love him, you'll keep his command. That sentiment, that mindset, that, I live under grace and I can live like the devil. There's no love for God there, is there? No, there's none whatsoever. So when Paul says in Romans, let's see. In Romans 6:14, he says, for sin will have no dominion over you. Since you're not under law, you're under grace. Paul didn't mean that Old Testament believers had to keep the law to go to heaven and New Testament believers don't have to. That's not what he's saying. Can you imagine that? Because some people say that. Some people say they had to keep the law. They were under law. We're under grace. Well, if you follow that logic through, it's like, so you're telling me that an Old Testament believer had to keep all these perfectly? You know that's not true. How is everyone saved? By grace through faith.
So here in the middle,
comes from that.
The law, the people in the Old Testament time, by faith, they had their faith in God. Their sins were forgiven because Jesus, even though they didn't know his name would be Jesus, even though we have far more knowledge about, because we're looking back on time, with the revelation that they had about God, their faith in God, and their obedience, which was expressions of their faith and their love, that's God's grace through faith that saved them. They look forward to us. We look back.
By grace, truly in faith.
All believers, Old Testament and New, were saved by God's grace through faith. No one was ever working their way to heaven. Ever. So when Paul says, when you see verses where it's saying, you're not under law, he wasn't saying there was a point in time when God had you follow all these to go to heaven. He was saying, guys, you have put yourself under the law. You put yourself under this man-made structure where you're trying to earn God's goodness. We know better. You're not under that fake wall that you put yourself under. You're under grace. Does that make sense? Listen to this. Romans 4, 2 through 3 says, Abraham. So Abraham, Old Testament? Yeah. How was he saved? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Scripture says that Abraham believed God. He had faith in God, and that's what was counted to him as righteousness. Remember the Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, chapter 11 there? All those Old Testament saints that had faith. None of them could work their way to heaven. So for both Old Testament and New Testament, obedience to the commands that we have is an expression of people's love for God. Never in Old Testament nor New are people saved by their works. All right, so do we throw out the Old Testament because of this? No, why on earth would we do that? The Old Testament is completely, completely relevant. So let's talk about how we study and apply that, all right? Because the Old Testament is based on the same two great commands that our law structure is, all of the Old Testament, you ready? All of the Old Testament can either apply directly to our lives or it contains timeless truths for us to apply that we can gather. Right? So what I mean by this, not necessarily a direct application of the law, right? Like for animal sacrifice, for instance, but we can derive timeless principles from even those. So here's what I mean by that. In Leviticus chapter 3, it says, men were to offer up the fat of the kidneys to the Lord as a burnt offering. That's really appetizing, right? Offer up the fat of the kidneys to the Lord as a burnt offering. What could we possibly get from reading that? What do you guys think? How would that somehow filter up here to loving God?
They're giving God their best.
Giving God their best. Is that a timeless principle for us? Yeah, absolutely. What else? Obedience was important. Absolutely. That was how they worshiped. That was one way that they worshiped God. They were loving God by worshiping him through ways that he had prescribed. Tell me, that's not applicable to us today. You get a lot of people who just want to worship God in ways that they want to. He's like, I never told you to do that. Right? We can derive just from that Levitic, from this verse, talking about offering up the fat of kidneys as a burnt offering. Right? But we sit down and we meditate on that. We think about that. Well, how is that loving God? Right? We can derive a timeless principle that we need to love God directly by worshiping him and in a way that he has prescribed. Why do you think we can still get timeless principles from the Old Testament, though? I mean, that was written thousands of years ago. Why can we read this and still find timeless principles in it?
Well, you read earlier, right? All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for reproof, and doing correction. Doesn't say anything.
Everything in there is profitable. That is true. But the answer I'm looking for is mostly around God. What is it about God that allows the Old Testament to be very relevant today? He doesn't change. He's never changed. You can look and see how he reacts to men, to sin in the Bible. It doesn't matter if it was 4,000 years ago. He'll react the same today. You can see what pleases him then and know that it still pleases him today. You can see what angers him then and know that it still angers him today. You can get a lot. There's so much mentioned in the Old Testament. If we didn't have the Old Testament, there's so much we wouldn't know about God. Would you know anything about creation if you didn't have the Old Testament?
Well,
think about how much we'd be missing. Think about how much we can learn about God from the Old Testament. You kind of seen Jesus doing this as well, but think about like in the book of Numbers, when God is taking out several million people. Can you imagine the logistics around organizing? Imagine if we had like 6 months to prepare. The logistics around getting 2 million people out of their homes and to have them travel by foot to another location. Do you know how hard that would be organizationally? God had them in groups organized in certain ways. He's a God of organization. What happened when Jesus was feeding the 5,000? Put them in groups of, what did he say? Put them in the groups of, was it 50 or 100? Have them sit here, have them sit here. You can see these things about God. You see his attention to detail. You see his forbearance and just how long-suffering he is when you talk about the unfaithfulness of the nation of Israel to him. We have all of these truths about God there in the Old Testament. It would be a crime if we threw that away. And how I've heard John MacArthur say that he wouldn't have enough faith to believe the New Testament if he didn't have the Old Testament. There's so much in the Old Testament for us, okay? So when we read it, when you're studying the Old Testament, remember, we read it like anything else. Always consider the context. Look for the main point. When you're reading it, think about the character and the nature of God. Right? When you come across commands, even though they might be under the law of Moses, think, how does that command point to loving God or loving our neighbor? And always remember, we are not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ. But much of the laws here are directly applicable to us today because they're based on the same two great commands. You're going to see a lot of overlap, but that doesn't mean any believer has ever worked the way to heaven. Every believer has always been saved the same way. It was always God's grace. They fell short of keeping their commands. We will fall drastically short of keeping our commands. We needed one perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to save us. Any questions, guys? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. How great it is. What a privilege for us to have a copy, probably many. Lord, we pray that we can study the Old Testament, the New, have understanding how they all fit together to bring you glory. Thank you for all the people you've brought here, and may their lives be changed and mine as well as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.